I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Today the attendance looked kind of thin, I think, because quite a few people are away. But thank God we are able to be here. And as we worship Him this morning, let us pray that God's mighty Holy Spirit may work in our hearts so that all of us may be very responsive to His Word. And always be very, very thankful that we can come here to worship Him. Yes, remember, this is a great privilege that the Lord has given to us, that we can come here and to address Him as our Father, and then, of course, be His children. How wonderful it is that we have this relationship with Him through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you happy with this relationship? Yes, we must all be very happy with this relationship. If you don't have this relationship with Him, you are not going to be a happy person. And we have been talking about happiness, people seeking for happiness. And last Sunday I began with the first beatitude. Beatitude simply means blessedness or happiness. I began with the first beatitude, which is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we want to be happy, we must come to the Lord Jesus Christ for happiness, because He is in the happiness business. Remember that? Yes. And we must come before Him poor in spirit, with a broken and a contrite heart. Poor in spirit, meaning to say poor in the inner man. And we must be beggarly poor. We come before Him, we beg for forgiveness, beg for mercy, and He will grant them to us. Yes, graciously He will grant them to us. And then we will be blessed with happiness that He wants to give to us. Now then, if we want to be happy, we must also observe the second beatitude, which says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The word blessed means happy. Happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, you know what the world says about wanting to be happy? The world says, if you want to be happy, just put on a happy face. Put on a happy face and you'll be happy. Years ago, remember, there was this pop song called Put on a Happy Face. Remember that? Yes. I went into the net and I looked at the lyrics of this song. Let me read the lyrics to you. Alright, interesting. Grey skies are gonna clear up. Put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up. As if you can put on a happy face and then you brush off the clouds and cheer up. Put on a happy face. Take off the gloomy mask of tragedy. It's not your style. You look so good that you'll be glad. You decide to smile. Pick out a pleasant outlook. Stick out that noble chin. Wipe off that fool of doubt look. Slap on a happy grin, as if you can just wipe off that sad look and then put on a happy grin. And spread sunshine all over the place. Just put on a happy face. Put on a happy face. Put on a happy face. And if you are feeling cross and bitterish, don't sit and whine. Think of banana split and licorice, and you feel fine. How about that? Just think of banana split and you feel happy. And he goes on to say something else. He says here, I knew a girl so glooming. She never laughed or sing. She wouldn't listen to me, and now she's a mean old thing. So spread sunshine all over the place. Just put on a happy face. So put on a happy face. On a happy face. Smile and you'll be happy. Put on a happy face and you'll be happy. As if you put on a happy face, you'll be happy. My dear friends, you can put on the happiest face that you want to put on. But if you are unhappy inside, you are going to be unhappy. Yes, you'll be like that man that we talked about some years ago. This man went to a psychiatrist because he was very depressed and very sad. And he asked the psychiatrist for help. And the psychiatrist said, didn't you know there is this circus in town? And in the town, in the circus, there is this wonderful clown. He will surely put on a good show, and you will be very, very entertained by him, and you will be very, very happy. And this man looked at the psychiatrist and said, but I'm that clown. happens. So, my dear friends, the Lord says, if you want to be happy, mourn, mourn and mourn, and you'll be happy. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, for our subject this morning, blessed are they that mourn, I'd like us to consider four things about mourning. Wrong mourning, right mourning. The wrong kind of mourning, the right kind of mourning. That's point number one. Point number two, godly sorrow type of mourning. And point number three, results of godly sorrow type of mourning. And point number four, hindrances to godly sorrow type of mourning. Now, what kind of mourning is the Lord talking about when he said, blessed are they that mourn? Now, let us first consider some types of mourning that are wrongful, illicit mournings. They are surely not the kinds of mourning that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about when he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, there are people who mourn because their ego is punctured, their pride is hurt, and so they mourn because their pride is hurt. There was this high rope acrobat, one day he was doing his practice, Felipe Petit. He was doing his practice and in Florida, when he fell 10 meters to the ground. And of course, when he fell, he was writhing in pain, and then he managed to turn over onto his belly and he started pounding the ground very heavily. Now, he pounded the ground not because of the pain that he was suffering from. Of course, the physical pain was great pain, but he was pounding the ground because he was suffering great grief. He was mourning over the fact that his pride had been hurt, his ego had been punctured. He said, I don't believe it, I never ever fell. But he fell, yes. Now, so that kind of mourning, my dear friends, is illicit mourning. Mourning over punctured ego. Now, another kind of illicit mourning was that of Amnon, the son of the great King David. Now, Amnon mourned because of his lust. He could not satisfy his lust, and therefore he mourned. Remember, he wanted to have sex with his half-sister, but Tamar, his half-sister, rejected him. And because of that, he felt very, very frustrated. So frustrated that he mourned till he became sick. And finally, what he did, he raped his half-sister. Yes. Then you remember the case of King Ahab. King Ahab was the king of Israel. Rich man, wealthy. He had beautiful palace grounds, of course, but he was not satisfied with what he had. He must annex his neighbor's vineyard, his neighbor's ground. That vineyard belonged to this man called Naboth. You see, this man was succumbing to the lust of his flesh and lust of his eyes. He wanted his neighbor's ground. And we read in 1 Kings 21 verse 4, I read that verse for you. And Ahab came into his house heavy. When he was rejected by Naboth, he came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word Naboth, the Jezreelite, had spoken to him. For Naboth had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. You see, Naboth had inherited that piece of land from his father. He said, I will not give it to you, king. And Ahab laid down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Yes, he threw his tantrums like a spoiled bread and he wouldn't eat bread. Yes, and his wicked wife very, very easily fixed the problem. And he fixed the problem by killing this man, Naboth, and so that Ahab could have his lust satisfied. Friends, such mournings, as a result of the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, my dear friends, are illicit mournings, wrongful kinds of mournings. Now, there is another kind of mourning that is illicit, wrongful. It is a mourning that comes as a result of guilt. Now, the Word of God records for us this young man by the name of Absalom. Remember Absalom? Absalom was a wicked man, wicked young man. He was the son of King David. And he, in the course of his life, wanted to usurp the throne of King David. And he actually staged a coup. And so David had to flee from his son and Very, very quickly he escaped out of the city of Jerusalem. Then his army regrouped and fought back. And in the course of the battle, Absalom's army was defeated and Absalom was killed. Now when King David received this news that his son Absalom had been killed, you know how he reacted? He wept, of course. He mourned and he wept. And we read in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33, I read that verse for you. And the king was much moved, King David was much moved. He went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." He wept and he wept and he wept and he was not pacifiable. And anybody looking at King David would say, "Wow, what great love this man had for his son. How noble that kind of a mourning. The son rebelled against him, wanted to kill him, and when the son was killed, he mourned over his son's death. How what great love he had for his son." People will say that. But friends, the truth of the matter was this. King David mourned not just because he felt sad that his son had died. Of course he felt sad. But friends, he mourned also because he remembered his guilt. He remembered that he was paying for his guilt. Remember earlier in his life, David had committed two terrible sins. The sin of adultery and the sin of murder. Remember that? He committed adultery with Bathsheba, caused her to be pregnant, and in order to marry her, he had her husband Uriah killed. So he committed two terrible sins. And then God sent this prophet by the name of Nathan, sent this prophet by the name of Nathan to rebuke him. And Nathan said, "King, you got to pay fourfold for the crimes that you have committed." And so David had to pay fourfold. Number one payment was the son that was born out of adultery died, the baby, he died. Number two payment, Amnon was killed. Remember, Amnon raped his half-sister. And then the true blood brother of Tamar, the half-sister, was Absalom. Absalom killed Amnon. And now son number three was dead. So he had already paid threefold. And he was going to pay with the life of one more son. So David wept because he remembered his guilt. He remembered that he was actually paying for his sins. Now that kind of mourning is also a wrongful kind of mourning. So friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ talked about this, "Blessed are they that mourn," he was not talking about all these wrongful kinds of mournings, illicit mournings. Now let's consider some proper mournings. Alright? But even if these mournings are proper, they are not necessarily the kind of mourning that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. Now first, the mourning for the death of a loved one. Now is that proper? That's of course proper. Yes, if you lose a loved one, surely you will mourn over the loss of the loved one. It will be very, very unnatural if you do not mourn. Surely you will mourn. So that kind of mourning is proper, legitimate. Now what about mourning because you are lonely and discouraged? Yes, alright, that kind of mourning, I think it is also very, very legitimate, proper kind of mourning. Yes, Timothy, the spiritual son of the great apostle Paul, experienced this kind of mourning. He was ministering and he felt lonely and he felt discouraged. And Paul had to write a letter to him to encourage him. And I read you what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 3. Paul says, "I thank God when I serve whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears," "that I may be filled with joy." Yes, Timothy was feeling lonely. He was feeling discouraged. Yes, he was a young pastor. Paul wrote to him to encourage him. Now that kind of mourning is proper kind of mourning. But still, it's not the kind of mourning that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about when he said, "Blessed are they that mourn." Then there are tears that are shed out of concern for the well-being of the church. Now, Paul shed this kind of tears. Yes, he was very, very concerned for the well-being of the church. And he shed tears out of concern for the church. There was this occasion when he called the elders of the church from Ephesus. He was not going to go into Ephesus, but he called the elders of the church to meet him. And this was what he said to them. I read for you. Acts 20:31. Therefore, watch and remember, Paul says, that by the space of 3 years, when he ministered to them, he ministered to the church at Ephesus, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul mourned out of concern for the well-being of the church. Yes, he was very, very worried that this church might be swallowed up by false teachings and false teachers. And so he mourned, he shed tears, he warned the church. Now, those kinds of tears are also legitimate tears. Now, another kind of legitimate tears would be tears of devotion. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, we have the case of this woman who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. She shed tears and she used the tears to wash the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that, she used her hair to dry the Lord's feet. Now, what kind of tears were those? My dear friends, those were tears of devotion. Are they legitimate tears? Yes, no. Of course, legitimate tears. Yes, shed out of devotion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then another kind of tears would be, of course, tears of joy, legitimate tears. A son, say, for example, had been away from home for 10, 15 years, and one day the son shows up in the home. Mother would rejoice. She would be rejoicing with tears. She would be shedding tears of joy. Now, so all these kind of mournings that we have just spoken about are legitimate mournings. The tears shed are legitimate tears. But still, they are not the kinds of mourning, or not the kind of mourning that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about when he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So what then is this type of mourning that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about when he says, blessed are they that mourn? Friends, it is the godly sorrow type of mourning. That's the kind of mourning that he's talking about. The godly sorrow type of mourning. It is mourning for the sins we feel very, very guilty about, which we will repent from. We don't just feel guilty, but we will repent from them. And that is the kind of sorrow that we are talking about. And Paul talks about this godly sorrow in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. I'd like us to look at this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Members of the church, please help our members to our friends to refer to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Alright. Yes, please turn to that verse. Alright, we are talking about the right kind of mourning, the mourning that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. And I'm referring now to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, to explain what it means by this kind of mourning. Chapter 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. Godly sorrow brings about repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Now, that is the kind of mourning that the Lord is talking about. Mourning with godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Yes. Now, what is this godly sorrow type of mourning? Now, this mourning here is a very, very extreme form of mourning. Now, I understand that in the Greek language, there are nine words that may be used for the word mourning. Nine of them. Now, this mourning that is being referred to in the Beatitude of the Lord Jesus Christ is the worst kind of mourning. The saddest, the most severe kind of mourning. That is what is referred to here. Out of the nine kinds of mourning, this is the most severe kind. Yes, it is mourning over someone you love very, very much who has passed away. And that's the kind of mourning that he's talking about. Mourning of the severest of the severest kind. It is grief that goes right into the very center of our being. It goes right into the center of our heart, as it were. Now, second, this kind of mourning is spiritual mourning. It is sorrow. It is not the sorrow of the world. This kind of mourning focuses on sin rather than on the punishment of sin. There's a difference, you know. Yes, this kind of mourning focuses on sin and not on the punishment of sin. Remember the case of Pharaoh. When God sent the plagues to afflict the land of Egypt, of course, Pharaoh was very, very disturbed, very perturbed. Yes, and his desire was to have the plagues removed from the land of Egypt. And that was his focus. He wanted the plagues to be removed from the land of Egypt. And he told Moses, "Moses, ask your God to remove the plagues. Ask him to remove the plagues." But he sinned yet more. That's what the word of God says. He sinned yet more. Yes, he was desperate for the plagues to be removed from the land of Egypt. But he was not desperate for the plagues to be removed from his heart. His focus was not on his sins. His focus was on the punishment of the sins that were in his heart. But friends, when a sinner mourns, he focuses on his sins rather than on the punishment of his sins. You take the case of David. When he mourned over his sins. I'd like us to turn to Psalm 51 and verse 3. And look, he mourned over his sins. Psalm 51 and verse 3. This was the confession of David. And this is a prayer of repentance after he had committed the two terrible sins. Psalm 51 verse 3. I read for you. David says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Now, did he say, "Lord, the punishment of my sin is ever before me"? What did he say? My sin is ever before me, not the punishment of my sin. He focused on his sins rather than on the punishment of his sins, for he realized that he had offended the one true living God by his sins. Now, if we want real happiness from the Lord, we must begin by realizing that we are spiritually bankrupt, like we said last week. We must realize that we are actually poor in spirit, that we are poor in the inner man. We are actually spiritual beggars, and we need to go on our knees to ask the Lord to grant us His mercy and to grant us His grace. It is when we are in this state that we will be willing to mourn over our sins. Yes, we will mourn over our sins when we are in that state. But we will not mourn over the punishment of our sins. Of course, we are fearful of the punishment of our sins. Yes, if we are unrepentant, of course, the punishment will be eternal hell. But friends, when we truly mourn as repentant sinners, we will mourn over our sins. We will mourn over the fact that we have offended the one true living God. Now third, this mourning, being a true kind of mourning, leads to repentance. And Paul says, this godly sorrow brings about repentance. During the time of the great revivals of Dr. John Sung in Southeast Asia, people by the hundreds and by the thousands, they shed tears at the revival meetings. And they were genuine tears. They were tears that reflected a heart that is filled with godly sorrow. People truly repented from their sins. And as we said many times before, gamblers gave up their gambling, womanizers gave up their womanizing, and then adulterers forsook their adultery. And the opium smokers gave up the opium. They gave up the drugs. They truly repented. Now the happenings at the modern revivals, my dear friends, are indeed a far cry from the kinds of happenings that took place during the time of the revivals of Dr. John Sung. People today don't weep over their sins. Today, they don't. People today don't care to repent from their sins. You know what they want? As we said many times before, what they want at those meetings is to feel good. And what they want is to be healthy and to be wealthy. The health and wealth gospel, my dear friends, that we see today is not going to cause people to mourn with godly sorrows over their sins. No, they will not do that. Yes, the health and wealth gospel, I dare say, is a device invented by Satan to delude many people into thinking that they are saved when in actual fact they are not. True, the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That's true, he said that. But he also says, we are to come to him poor in spirit. When we come to him, we must mourn over our sins. It is when we come in that manner to him that we will be comforted. Yes, and that's the kind of a response that the Lord expects from us when we come to him. Come to him poor in spirit, come mourning over our sins. Now fourth, this genuine kind of mourning is not over generalities. Yes, the mourning must be over specific sins, not over something general but specific. Remember when the Lord dealt with the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well, what did the Lord do? The Lord led her to the sin that she was guilty of. And what was she guilty of? She was guilty of the sin of adultery. This woman had been married 5 times, and the man that she was living with at that time was not her husband. And that was the sin that the Lord led her to, and the Lord wanted her to mourn over that sin and to repent from that sin. And then when the Lord confronted Zacchaeus, my dear friends, Zacchaeus repented specifically from one specific sin. And what was Zacchaeus guilty of? The sin of covetousness. Of course, the sin of covetousness. Yes, the Lord wanted him to mourn over that sin and to repent from that sin. And Zacchaeus repented specifically from that sin. He made restitution. He paid fourfold for those things that he had wrongfully taken. And he gave half his wealth away to the poor. Yes, then during the time of Dr. John Soong's revivals, when he preached during his revival meetings, he was very, very specific about sins. He would list all the sins to his audience. Yes, he would enumerate them. And those people who mourned, and those people who responded to his preaching, mourned over their sins specifically. Yes, not generally. It's not just, Lord, forgive me of my sins. They would enumerate their sins, and they asked the Lord to forgive them of their specific sins. Friends, what are the sins that are keeping you from the kingdom of God? And I mean specific sins. What are they keeping you from the kingdom of God? And if you are keeping yourselves from the kingdom of God, let us realize this. You are also keeping yourself from the happiness which the Lord wants to give to you. Friends, you must mourn. You must mourn specifically over your sins, and mourn over them with godly sorrow, which must necessarily lead to repentance. And let's be clear what repentance is. Repentance is making an about turn. It's making a U-turn. It's not just feeling sorry over the sins that you have committed. It is more than that. A Sunday school boy said, repentance is feeling sorry for your sins. Somehow the Sunday school girl did better, and she said, no, it's more than that. Repentance is feeling sorry for your sins and quitting them. Yes, you don't just repent, you quit them. You repent from your sins and you turn to the one true living God. So friends, remember, mourn and mourn over your sins and quit your sins. That is true repentance. Yes, and if you are really mourning over your sins, that must necessarily take place. God, mourning over your sins must be mourning with godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Now fifth, this mourning is not unto despair, but unto repentance that leads to salvation. There are people who mourn over their sins, and then they despair over their sins. Yes, you see, they underestimate the grace of God. to forgive them of their sins. Judas was one such person. Remember, he mourned over his sins of greed that led him to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. He mourned. But friends, he mourned in desperation. His mourning led to despair. He mourned not with eyes of faith to look at the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of his sins. But no, my dear friends, he mourned, and his mourning led him into despair. And as a result of which, he went and hung himself. But not so in the case of Peter. Did not Peter sin? Yes, he did. He denied the Lord 3 times. But Peter truly shed tears of repentance. Yes, that night he wept. Remember, he heard a cock crow and he wept. And friends, he wept with repentance. He came back to the Lord because he saw the Lord with eyes of faith in the mercy and the grace of the Lord. And he came and he repented. And the Lord forgave him. And the Lord restored him to his position of being an apostle. Friends, are there hidden sins in us that we think are simply too great for the Lord to forgive? They are never too great for the Lord to forgive. What we need to do, or what you need to do, is to mourn over them, repent from them, and be assured of this truth. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your sin. If you confess them and repent from them. 6. Let us understand that this godly sorrow type of mourning is not a one-time only kind of mourning. Yes, we must be continually mourning over our sins. Yes, continually do so. Now, it is true, the day we came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, did we not mourn over our sins? Of course we did. The day we came to believe, we mourned over our sins. And the Lord very, very graciously forgave us of our sins. We repented, and the Lord forgave us. And he saved us from the penalty of our sins. But we also realize over time that we have a sinful nature, right? And that even though we have been forgiven, even though the Lord has saved us from the penalty of sin, we still have this remnant of the sinful nature in us. When we sin, we are exposed to the power of sin. And every day we need to be saved from this power of sin. And of course, will we not sin? We'll sin, of course. Yes. And we need to mourn over our sins whenever we sin, and repent from those sins. And when we repent from those sins, mourn over them, repent from them, then the Lord will comfort us with his comfort. Yes. Now, that kind of experience that we have is not just peculiar to us. Yes, Paul, the great apostle, also went through that kind of experience. Yes, the experience of being overpowered by the power of sin. And so he said, the good that I would do, that I do not. The evil that I would not do, that I would do. Yes, but friends, when we sin, we must very, very quickly mourn over our sins, confess our sins, repent from them. And the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And he will comfort us. Now, what is the result of this godly sorrow type of mourning? The result is this. We will be comforted. The Lord says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. How tragic it is if we mourn, and then we are never comforted. I heard of the story of this man, a very wealthy man in Singapore, who lost his son. He loved his son very, very dearly. But nothing could ever comfort this man. He left the room of his son intact. And at the head of the bed, of course, there was the pillow of the son. And on the top of the pillow, he placed a picture of his son. And every day, he would visit the room of the son. And then he would remember his grief all over again. He could never, and he would never be comforted. How sad. How sad. But friends, when we mourn over our sins with godly sorrow, God will comfort us. Yes, he will. He knows our grief. He's not one who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Remember, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our perfect high priest. He is not one who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. His precious blood will cleanse us of all our sins. And how wonderful it is to be comforted by him. Now the Lord has ascended up to heaven, but he has not left us comfortless. He has sent forth his mighty Holy Spirit to indwell us, and the Holy Spirit is another comforter who is like the Lord himself. Exactly. Not another kind of a different type, but of the same kind, same type. Another comforter of the same kind, exactly like the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has indwelt us. We read this in John chapter 14, verse 16. I'd like us to turn to this verse, that we in fact have this comforter dwelling in us. John 14, verse 16. I read for you. And I will pray the Father, the Lord says, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. This comforter is in us. So today, my dear friends, if we sin and we mourn over our sins with godly sorrow, and we repent from our sins, will we not be comforted? The answer is yes, because the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, indwells us, and he will comfort us. I ask you, friends, have you experienced the comfort of having your sins forgiven? Have you? If you haven't, may I urge you this morning to mourn over your sins, repent from them, and you will be comforted. And when he comforts you, you will be blessed. And remember, the word blessed means what? Happy. When he comforts you, you will be happy. Yes, happy is the man who is comforted by the Lord himself. So are you looking for happiness? If you are, friends, mourn over your sins with godly sorrow, and he will comfort you. Mourn over your sins, and you will be happy. Now, if you are not mourning over your sins, there are a few possible reasons as to why you are not mourning over your sins. I tell you why. One possible reason is this: because you love to sin. Because you love to sin, you naturally will not want to mourn over your sin. In fact, you will mourn if you are prevented from sinning. Isn't it very true? Yes. Remember the case of Amnon. Now, Amnon mourned because he could not have the pleasure of sinning. Right? He couldn't have sex with his half-sister. He was prevented from doing that. He mourned until he became sick. Now you take the case of Ahab. Now Ahab couldn't satisfy his lusts, right? He could not enjoy the sin of possibly acquiring the land that belonged to his neighbor. And as a result of that, he mourned. Yes, he mourned. He was frustrated and he mourned. So my dear friends, check on yourselves. Why are you not mourning over your sins? Is it because you enjoy sinning, that's why you do not mourn over your sins? Now, second, you might not be mourning over your sins because you would rather despair over your sins than come to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. Just as in the case of Judas. Judas despaired over his sins rather than come to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. So friends, if you are despairing over your sins this morning, I urge you, stop despairing. Come! Turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ and look up to him with faith for forgiveness, and he will forgive you. Third, you could be very conceited with self-righteousness. That's why you do not mourn over your sins. Very, very conceited, because you feel very righteous. Years ago, I gave the gospel to a friend. Actually, I had this in my record. I can't remember who this friend was, but I gave him the gospel. I had it in my record. And this man, my friend, knew the gospel. Yes, Now he knew the gospel because he had read the manuscript of a book that was written by his friend who was a believer. Now this believer had written a book and he wanted this manuscript to be printed. And this friend of mine read the manuscript. And then he said to me, I admire this friend very much. He's got great intellect. And I admire him because he is able to describe his faith very, very clearly in this book that he has written, that he's about to publish. Right? And I said, but what do you think of his faith? What about you? Do you believe what he believes? He said, well, there's just one problem. One problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, it's the sin problem. You see, I can tell you, same thing as other people would say. He said, I have always regarded myself as a good man. Same old story. I've been honest. I don't lie. I don't cheat. How could I regard myself a sinner? I told him, yes, you are righteous in your eye. You might be righteous in the eyes of other people. But my dear friend, your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. Friends, today perhaps you are not mourning because you are like this friend of mine. You think that you are righteous. Yes, you are in fact considered yourself righteousness. But friends, understand this truth. Your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. Now, fourthly, the possible reason as to why you are not mourning over your sins is that you are living in frivolity. Yes, some people just don't want to deal with reality. Yes, they don't. They want to laugh all the time. They want to be eating, drinking, and marrying all the time. And some want to have the music turned on all the time. They can't bear the music being turned off. They think that life must be like that. Friends, if you are living in a state of stupor and frivolity, may I urge you to come down to reality today. Know this truth, friends. One day, during the time of the Great Tribulation, God is going to turn off all the music. You believe me? He says it in His Word. Please turn with me to Revelation 18:22. God is going to turn off the music. Yes. Revelation chapter 18, verse 22. Alright, I read for you. And the voice of harpers and musicians, of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. So is not God going to turn off the music? Yes, no. Yes, He's going to turn off the music someday. We need to turn off the music today, friends. We need to stop living in frivolity. Yes, we need to be sober today. And I urge you, friends, to consider your sins. Mourn over them. Your specific sins. Mourn over them with godly sorrow. Repent from them. And if you did so, my dear friends, God is going to comfort you. Now, the fifth possible reason why you are not mourning over your sin is that you are procrastinating. You are postponing the time that you ought to be mourning. You see, there is time yet. Someday I'll get round to doing it. Friends, let's realize that someday may never come. One truth you cannot escape from is this. The year 2009 is history, right? You can't escape from that. It's history. And now we have entered into the year 2010. And how many days have gone by? We are on the 17th day now. 16 days have gone by. And soon the year 2010 will come to an end, just as 2009 came to an end a few days ago. Yes, God says, don't postpone. Today is the day of salvation. Not any other day. Not tomorrow, but today. When I think of this, when I was preparing this, I thought of my brother. Yes, last April, May, I went back to Singapore. We had a family gathering. And then I said, brother, my older brother, two rungs above me, he's number 5, I'm number 7. I said, brother, sit down, let's talk. He knew that I was going to share the gospel with him. And he just walked away. He walked away. And that was the last time I saw him. Yes, because a few months later, I had a phone call from Singapore. My brother had passed away. How sad. Yes, you cannot postpone, because today is the day of salvation. And God tells us very, very clearly. He says to us, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. That is how short life is. Now, I think you are very familiar with the fog that we see in Sydney. Sometimes in winter, we wake up, we think that the world has come to an end. It's so foggy, you can't see anything. But then the sun comes out, and very soon, the mist disappears. Life is as short as that. Even as short as a vapor that appears for a little time, and it vanishes away. So friends, what is stopping you from mourning over your sins and coming to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Don't delay, my dear friends. Now let me conclude by recapitulating what I said this morning. There are illicit mournings and there are proper mournings. And even if our mournings are proper, we do not necessarily get the kind of comfort that the Lord wants to give to us, because that's not the kind of mourning that He's talking about. We can cry about our loneliness, we can cry about our problems, we can cry over our discouragement, we can cry because our loved one has passed away. Friends, but these kind of mournings, though they may be proper mournings, legitimate mournings, they are not the kind of mourning that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ, when He says, blessed are they that mourn, was talking or is talking about mourning with godly sorrow over our sins, followed by repentance from those sins. Yes, this mourning is a deep sorrow, as deep as sorrowing over the death of our loved ones. Are you sorrowing over your sins in that manner? And this mourning, as we said, must be followed by repentance, and it must be over specific sins, not over generalities. And this mourning must be continual. In other words, we recognize that we sin. Every day we sin. But when we sin, we must quickly repent from our sins. We must mourn over our sins and say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. I won't do it again. By your grace, we mourn over our sins and repent from our sins. And if we did so, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousnesses and to give us the happiness that He wants to give us, because, you see, He will comfort us. And don't let anything hinder your mourning. The things that can hinder our mournings would be the love of sin, despair. Yes, despair. Instead of turning to the one true living God, we despair and we will not want to mourn over our sins. Another thing that can prevent us from mourning over our sins is our being conceited with self-righteousness. And another thing that can prevent us from mourning over our sins is procrastination, frivolity. Our friends, the Lord says, mourn. Mourn over your sins. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching of this Beatitude. Help us, O Lord God, that we may, by your grace, recognize that we are spiritually bankrupt, that we need to go on our knees to beg for your mercy and for your grace. And we know that you will very, very kindly and graciously give them to us. And Lord, we also recognize that we must mourn over our sins. Yes, if we want to be comforted. And Lord, we pray that you teach us that we will not only mourn, but we will mourn with godly sorrow and repent from our sins. For if we did so, you will comfort us and you will bless us with the happiness that you would want to bless us with. Lord, we pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, who have never had the experience of mourning over their sins and repenting from them. Show them specifically where they have gone wrong. Show them specifically where they have offended you, and cause them to repent today. Cause them to mourn and to repent from their sins, so that they will be saved. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.